Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to Raw tonight, and presumably the new number one contender, Kofi Kingston.
It was a cute enough way, I guess, to mix things up as a one-off for a week to incorporate kind of Kofi Kingston in there. I say incorporate Kofi Kingston in the title picture. As I'm saying the words, I know I don't mean them. It's a strange, curious choice of somebody to get a win over Bobby Lashley in order to reheat a Bobby Lashley Drew McIntyre program. We have to sort of be transparent about what is a fairly transparent story. We're heading towards a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view that seems destined to offer the final payoff of Drew and Bobby, whichever way that goes. Kofi Kingston is at least somebody different in that mix for a few weeks. I don't know if they wrap this tonight. As of us recording this now, we haven't yet seen, you know, precisely how they're going to follow this up. I don't know if we're going to get a match or whatever, but I think there could be. I think they could probably sell a WWE Championship main event of next week's Raw with one decent hard sell this week.
Yeah, they can tell their listeners because they've already gone with Bobby Lashley's open challenge fought out, which is exactly right. And I'm going to write on the notes for this podcast. But yeah, you sense that it is going to be, you pin the champion, so I guess you get a world title match maybe next week, and then he's going to get murdered en route to Hell in a Cell, Drew Bobby again, isn't it?
I think so. I think they might even do that thing this week where Kofi, I don't know, because Lashley hasn't got any friends anymore, is he? Maybe on MVP, if MVP's in, fancies putting the tights on for the night, Kofi steals another one to have the commentators be able to scream that he's got all the momentum. And maybe there's nothing Bobby Lashley can do from this being Kofi Mania 2 or something like that. You know, they'll build it up as if it's just as big as that, but Kofi's going to ascend at the top of the mountain again. He's not, I think you're right, Merc is the word I would have gone with as well. I think he's going to get absolutely battered when they have the actual title match. Not quite in the manner that The Miz did, but something fairly close to it. But yeah, they've got a week to potentially hard sell a sort of intriguing WWE Championship match for next week's Raw. So they might as well use this one for that.
How do you think Drew factors into all this in the interim?
I'd like him to just remain on the side of the virtuous and just be supportive of Kofi's attempts to win. They'll do that intense babyface thing they do where Drew's like, I hope you beat Bobby, but just know that I'm the next one in the queue. And don't celebrate too loudly because I'm going to claymore your head off. It's like nobody can be happy about anything ever. But I don't really want him to be like Edge was basically in the run to WrestleMania with Roman and Daniel Bryan. I just in order for Drew to remain a babyface, I'd quite like him to just keep his fingers crossed for Kofi because he likes him more. And then for Kofi to be like, all right, yeah, chill out, mate. You can have your shot at Hell in a Cell. We're good. You know, just to not have to deal with this to like be looking over your shoulder for a supposed babyface because Drew is still obsessed with Bobby Lashley or whatever. They like that story, and I don't think that's one that needs telling here, because I don't think Drew needs that. Mm. I think he should just be the supportive co-babyface of Kofi, and then when Kofi doesn't get it done, we kind of accept that we're heading back to the Drew match, because it does sort of, it does go a little bit verge on making Drew a bit of a poochie, doesn't it? Like a bit of a droochie. Like, when Drew's not in the match, everybody should be asking, where's Drew? You don't want, like, Drew McIntyre to be that kind of character. So, aye, just a supporter of Kofi Kingston in the short term, knowing that, you know, he'll be getting the next shot.
I have to go now. Goodbye. Just a quick word on Keith Lee, because we were talking about it on the news this morning, a bonkers rumour that he's going to be released by WWE doing the rounds over the weekend. That's been killed off by Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful. But I just feel, talking about it, you know, just sort of not been, he's not been in my mind recently due to his absence. But he feels like a great progression and a potential, a certain contender for either Money in the Bank or to challenge for the title of Money in the Bank. If you want to do, you know, you want to really go all in, have Bobby Lashley, you know, win a Hell in a Cell match against Drew McIntyre and come out the next night and be like, well, Braun Strowman dealt with, Drew McIntyre dealt with, who else is there to deal with? And obviously you'll have fans back, well, in and around the time of Money in the Bank, having Keith Lee return and be like, what about me? And look at the bloody size of me. I just think that's a great bit of booking, even though I sincerely doubt WWE would do something like that.
No, I think that's, you know, a great pitch for a Keith Lee return. It's strange, isn't it? Because everything that we can talk about with what they might potentially do with him when he comes back has a certain cloud looming over it, because when he was around, by all accounts, Vincent Magist didn't really like him. Mm. Didn't really get him, didn't know quite how he wanted to present him, as we saw by the multiple changes early on in that character's life. Yeah, I'd love it. I'm not sure the only man that matters would, and thus it may be one like, not holding on to your hat for Money in the Bank, however, I could absolutely see Keith Lee being entered into that and then kind of stealing the show. Mm. Not so much being booked to win, but being booked to get that spotlight in the way that they like to do that often with the Money in the Bank matches. It's a multi-man. You can do quite big things with a ladder. Keith Lee especially can do big things off a ladder, to the point where he kind of, it becomes a statement match for him, a bit like what happened with the AJ Nakamura standoff in the Money in the Bank match. A long time before they actually got around to booking the match for real. Keith Lee could have a night like that, which, yeah, might set him up for something nice sometime. I just think until he clicks with Vince McMahon, it's all stuff that we can only imagine rather than actually see manifested on television.
Someone just fire up that Survivor Series on Peacock and remind Vince of how everyone, including himself, felt around that time when it was him and Reigns facing off towards the end. Just wonderful stuff. And I do hope they realise what they've got on their hands with someone like Keith Lee, particularly in and around the title picture. But who knows going forward. Also to look forward to on Raw tonight is a women's tag title match. And I know what you're thinking. I'm getting deja vu here. Yes, they did do this exact same thing last week. It is Natalya and Tamina defending those tag titles against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Spooky bollocks last time. Spooky bollocks this time, Michael Hamblett.
Oh, God, I hope not. But I think it appears as if Shayna could be the big target, perhaps, of Alexa Bliss, which is less than ideal, isn't it? Mm. It was the mere fact that that finish last week, where Reginald obviously hit the deck off that fire, was constructed to protect Nia Jax and not Shayna Baszler. Every way in which they kind of arranged that, it made more sense for Nia to be the one distracted. Like, Shayna doesn't care about Reginald. You know, Nia was already at his side, and yet it was all there to have Shayna be the one to suffer the consequences of it. I don't particularly care for the idea. Like, the Alexa Bliss stuff is what it is. We enjoy ripping the piss out of it on the reviews when it's worthy of ripping the piss out of it. But I'm going to be positive here about something in this otherwise wretched women's division. I don't hate the Natalya and Tamina as champions bit yet. I thought we read that WWE sort of thought, aye, sod it, we'll strap Tamina because look at this response she got at WrestleMania. You're like, they've actually committed to something. Mm. They are quite a believable, all you people thought we were past it, but look, we've still got it type of act. I think that like really comes across. I believe it. I'll tell you what it is. I believe they value those tag belts. That's what this is. Like, WWE don't value those tag belts. I think Tamina like sleeps with that thing on a pillow. She looks at it and treasures it. Mm. And Natalya sees this as some deserved validation for the kind of the background work she's often forced to do all the time. I think they really value them. So I can buy like something about it, like that element of the act feels credible. So if they're going to win tonight, I hope that we get the spookiness after the fact, because what I didn't buy was last week when their celebrations were like interrupted by the laughing. And then Natalia and Tamina had to do like acting, capital A, about like the laughing noises that were coming through the Thunderdome. Now I'm a little bit concerned. Like I didn't believe that at all. So have them win by all means. Set up a couple of new challenges if you want. But yeah, maybe try and have it not factor in at the finish and do the spooky stuff afterwards. Maybe like the lights can go off after Naya and Shayna lose, and like Shayna can have whatever the black goo equivalent of a bloodbath is.
Yeah, and let's agree to never have anyone visit Alexa's playground ever again.
Well, yeah, like I thought they came across sort of as normal human beings. That whole, why the frig are we here? This is weird. I don't like this. Let's go. Like, they were at least the one relatable element of that segment.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Just a quick further word on the women's division, because it's in bloody shambles right now, isn't it, right now? And particularly because we all went, oh, okay, yep. It seems really straightforward. WrestleMania Backlash, Rhea pins Asuka, and then we get Rhea versus Charlotte down the line, etc., etc. And they seem to be going in that direction right up until last week when they went, Asuka pins Charlotte. And you're like, right, okay, so what are we doing here? I get it. Charlotte can come out and say, oh, well, Rhea jumped up on the apron and I was dealing with her and blah, 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 and moan, moan, moan. That's exactly what I need on my bloody television show. More moaning and Sonya Deville getting her ears bent by Charlotte Flair. But it's like, even if you put all that to one side and they somehow retcon it and go, yeah, no, it is Charlotte versus Rhea at Hell in a Cell. It's like, after that, it's a barren wasteland of, like, there are incredibly talented women on that roster. I'm not saying that there aren't, but I wouldn't buy any of them as challenging Rhea Ripley anytime soon, even the spooky one with the creepy doll.
No, quite right. The best talent they have are trapped in risible storylines. And outside of those storylines, the rest of the talent are being seen as just risible extras. That's this division. There is nothing good at the top. There is nothing good awaiting. And I don't quite know how they fix this. They are doing this route of, I don't know, like, is it a mini losing streak gimmick for Charlotte? Like, is that what they're going to say? And then she's still going to get the title shot because they're going to play on the fact that she's entitled. It's not a great story, but it is an angle. Problem is, of course, you've got Rhea Ripley as a heel. So you've got one very confused heel champion versus an entitled heel challenger. That's not going to help the chemistry of the match that we believe is between the two wrestlers that can still have this good match, you know? I thought the triple threat at WrestleMania Backlash was a step in the right direction, even though, that, again, the booking was kind of lame. The 50-50 that already by having Asuka win on Raw. Yeah, it's not the most captivating thing. And what's worse still is that we'll have a women's Money in the Bank match where you've got two divisions at the moment that are in tatters on Raw and SmackDown, outside of the top programs. And they'll probably just try and elevate somebody out of the blue with that briefcase. Nobody is going to feel, you know, you've got like the likes of Carmella, who's an ex-winner, or Naomi, that just constantly feels like patronized by the roles that she's given. Whoever wins that briefcase, is going to have that supposed instant elevation, but there's virtually nobody that she would need to leapfrog anyway. Outside of these top programs, nobody is getting anywhere. There's been a few forced tag teams to try and help that, help those belts, which didn't really work. The in-ring time that these women are getting is absolutely criminal. On Raw, especially when you've got 3 hours of television to use, but SmackDown's not much better. I don't know how they get out of the problem that they've got. In the old days, I would have expected a raid of NXT. Like the pre-Wednesday Night War days, you would have well seen that like sort of three or four talent would have come up all at once, freshen the scene up, not to be brutal, but like separate the wheat from the chaff a little bit, see who was maybe not really as maybe warranting of a spot of getting quite as much television time. But I don't even think they'll do that now because they see when, you know, it's its own television show. You just don't get call-ups in the manner that you used to. So I don't even think that's an option. I'd push people, I guess, is all I can suggest is like exposure and a push. Like, pick three women. Like, I hate to be this blunt, but everyone's working off a zero at the moment. It's a level playing field, but not for a good reason. You know, nobody's over. Pick three, push them, and just see what happens. Have them be the one to pick up wins. Have them be the one to just establish a sense of direction. Because other than the one person that's challenging for the title in a given month, there's nothing happening.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I love her and she's incredibly talented, but I don't want them to have to be relying on when Becky Lynch is returning, for example, when you've got someone like, you know, I'm not her biggest fan, but you got someone like Mia Yim and I was just going, well, what are they doing with her? Just bring her in, have a win, probably have her on Raw because Keith Lee's on Raw and that'd just be a nice thing to do. But anyway, bring her in, like you say, just have a tear through people because I think this was personified, I'm not sure if it was last week or it all blurs into one, to be honest, when they were there going, oh, we want a tag title shot. They've got a tag title shot. We want a tag title shot. And then Charlotte walks in and they go, oh, well, you bloody lost it. I don't know. And it's like, oh, you're all crap. You're all crap. Sort this out. Because they're all not crap in terms of in-ring prowess. And they're just made to look crap. Or just get Sonya Deville dust off the gear because she's mint and she's, in my eyes, certainly a level above the rest of them and can do the whole politicking gimmick.
Well, I like that as well. I'd love it if this ultimately was to lead to her getting back in the ring, because yes, I think she's missed.
One match advertised for tonight is Riddle versus Xavier Woods. Further fallout from Riddle shoving Xavier Woods and the ongoing friction between the New Day and RK-Bro. I have to say, I do really like this team of Riddle and Orton. They've sort of stumbled into it, but it actually does work really well. And I kind of like the aspect of Orton, you know, not so blatantly, but clearly sort of poisoning the mind of Riddle, who's just a happy-go-lucky bloke who shoved Xavier Woods over. And Riddle versus Xavier Woods, on paper, could be a great match, given plenty of time. I mean, they give 10 minutes last week to AJ Styles and Elias going to a sodding DQ. Give this a bit of time, eh?
Yeah, like, as you say, like, in-ring-wise, this has got such potential. I don't know how it's possible. I feel like we've said this on podcasts, but I don't know how it's possible, but I still think Xavier Woods is underrated.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's like achieved more than like half the people that have ever worked for WWE. And yet I still don't think there's quite enough press around just how awesome he is to watch as a wrestler, as a guy that if all things were different, would he have stood a chance of getting a singles push in the same way Kofi did? I think very possibly, you know, and as big he is now, I think Woods is like a candidate exactly on the same level. And like willingly and very generously often pulls himself back for the benefit of the act. You know, he'll be the one on the outside playing the trombone or he'll happily kind of throw himself into that video game side of his life. And I just think that if he wants to, and like when he can, as we'll probably get here, you'll just see what you can have every week off Xavier Woods if the company and the wrestler himself wanted it. I like the angle too. I agree. I think this is a relatively well-built pay-per-view tag match. I expect RK-Bro and the New Day to wrestle. Hopefully, not before then, but I would like to see them wrestle at Hell in a Cell as a match that has actual meaning, that has actual stakes. As you say, Riddle has been, at the end, it doesn't even feel like Orton's doing this overtly. It's just because they've established a bit of a kinship, Riddle's decided to stick up for that. He's decided to, oh, I know what you all think, but like last few weeks, me and him have really bonded. You know, like it's enough to buy for a story. RK-Bro, I think now, they could do it immediately after the New Day, actually. They could have Riddle be the one to sort of win that match and then have Orton hit him with an RKO. And just be like, look what I made you do to your mate. And now look what I've just done to you. You know, like there is something to do there if they wanted. But I genuinely feel like this feels like an act that audiences would probably most want to cheer when they're permitted to. Mm. Like it feels like something you maybe want to hold off on the split of till there's fans. We're so close now. We can start for the first time after a year of speculating. We can start like focusing on the storylines that we would like to occur in front of audiences. And this would be one of them. I think just seeing Riddle and like Randy Orton split would mean that you'd get cheers first, you know? Like, we know, like, the commentary would only have to say, we know that, like, Randy Orton doesn't care. He blocks those people out anyway, but Riddler's been waiting the whole year to enjoy the WWE Universe in full voice, and here they are for rated, like, RK Bro. I always call them rated RK Bro, and I shouldn't say it. Here they are, RK Bro. They come out, they get this huge pop, they win a great match, and then Orton just pops the balloon. And RKO's, and that's how he, you know, like Riddle's waited all this time for crowds, and now his new best friends like try to kick him in the head. It's just like, oh, they do what a reverse Festus. Like, maybe if Orton punts him, like Riddle becomes like a super genius, like he's this sort of like lucid, erudite, like great thinker of the backstage area. And then he punts him again, and he goes back to being Riddle.
He becomes Matthew Riddle, and then yeah. Back- I like that, yeah. I think it also speaks volumes that whilst you're talking then, I was going, who are the Raw Tag Team Champions? I genuinely can't remember they've been on TV. And that's because, yeah, they've been doing bollocks with Elias and Jackson Ryker rather than just getting big jawed there doing big jawed stuff. But speaking of tag teams, it's been 2 weeks now. I can ignore all the zombie bollocks. That's in the past now. But it feels like we are well on the way to the end of Miz and Morrison, hey, hey, oh no, Michael Hamflett.
Oh no, indeed. Yeah, poor Miz, man. Like what, like first like proper injury ever, and it's in a friggin' zombie match that people are going to bury him for the rest of his career. Like, karma wasn't really on his side there, was it? It does feel like that was where this was all destined to lead to. I got mixed feelings on it because I do think they've like, I don't like just praising them for doing the basics because it's not even that the basics have been like that entertaining. It's been all right. The Miz and Morrison split stuff has been all right, but it has existed pretty much since WrestleMania. This idea that like it's eaten away at them, that like they've been beaten by Bad Bunny. Damian Priest has been able to be the big benefactor of all of this, obviously. Ton of miscommunications, some small, some bigger between Miz and Morrison. And yeah, when Miz is fit and healthy and good to go, it does seem like that's the direction. It does seem that that's what they're going to do. John Morrison will get one more crack at being a babyface, I would imagine, because I think he's found a different voice slightly. The second time around, he looks more confident mocking himself. The Johnny Drip Drip stuff has got a shelf life. It definitely does. However, he's very clearly like 10 years more experienced than he was trying to get over as a babyface the last time. There are some cringeworthy John Morrison segments to go back and quote unquote enjoy on the WWE Network, or indeed on YouTube. Why not go find him and Teddy Long's tribute to Michael Jackson as a bit of homework for anybody. You will not be able to make it through that.
And tribute to The Office. Pucker!
He's just not that guy now, and I think that's for the better. That's for like the benefit of this angle, because I think the matches will only be all right. I cannot say that I'm like electrified at the prospect of Miz versus Morrison as a match, but the promos will probably be quite good.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if I'm concerned about this or whether this is the best way of getting out of it now rather than just sort of holding him in this pattern, because with that ACL, I think I was reading ACL tear he's got, which means like 6 to 9 months. Whether or not you can, I don't know, you know, his fitness to travel or to be in the ring or whatever, and I'm not suggesting he does anything physical with Morrison, but whether you do a Miz TV tonight or in the next few weeks with him in a sling or whatever, you know, whatever medically he needs to be wearing, but Maurice is there. That I like that friction of Morrison getting his nose kind of put out of joint. And then because Miz can't do anything physical, big old huff to the bollocks. They do love that from Maurice on John Morrison. I mean, God forbid if they do another bloody... I mean, Priest himself literally said, that's that dealt with last year. You've got to keep Priest busy until the build to Money in the Bank. But even so... literally anything. And Morrison, yeah, You know, I'm not suggesting, I mean, he'd be great in Money in the Bank, but it'd be difficult to suddenly turn around and be a babyface, especially if he has to interact with Priest. But yeah, I just sense the zombie bollocks, they're just going to brush that off with like one line when this eventually rolls around.
Yeah, we're not getting any sort of revisiting of that. The WWE will see that as, thank you very much. We did our co-promotion. That money was lovely. And then we'll never speak of it again. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they'll view that. Miz, maybe as John Morrison's ever so slightly frustrated manager for a little while, might be a nice way to build a delay. Pretty much the act that we get now, only he's there at ringside playing cheerleader for a little while. Right. If, as we say, physically all that stuff is allowed, or the man just gets a bit of time off. He never takes any ever. So you could do that too.
Mm. Intriguing to see what happens with that. Although before just going to be some more bollocks with AJ Styles and Elias going to 20 minutes, whatever it is this week. But let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight. We'll be going through it with you, don't worry, on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, so you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. We've got the Raw review, of course, tomorrow with myself and the Dadley Boys. If you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling and leave us a 5-star review and suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related, we will review it instead of a god awful segment of Monday Night Raw tomorrow. And later on today, myself and Michael Hamford will be back talking about Whisper It, the return of John Cena. But for now, this has been the Raw preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.